And I'd next like to welcome to the stage Dr. David Sweet. He's a consultant in critical care medicine in Vancouver, and he's also the provincial clinical lead for sepsis QI projects across Canada. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. So, key in the management of sepsis is early identification and good supportive management, which include, amongst other things, what you see here on the screen: measuring an early lactate, getting blood cultures before antibiotics, delivering those antibiotics, getting a fluid bolus if needed, and vasopressors. Now, of these, as we know, there's a lot of literature looking at timing and antibiotics. And depends, different people will believe how much of an effect there is, but there definitely seems to be an association between delayed antibiotics and increased mortality. The sicker patient seems to have more an effect, and again, depending on the study, an increased mortality between 2 and maybe 8% per hour delay in antibiotics and septic shock. Highly related to this is getting your blood cultures in done before giving the IV antibiotics. And for those that don't do QI work, you might not know this, but there is a tug of war, and we're almost a victim of our own success in that we're giving antibiotics so rapidly, often in the emergency department for specifically, we're not getting blood cultures done as much or as often. The Surviving Sepsis Campaign guidelines recommend not only, yes, you need to do your blood cultures before you give your IV antibiotics, but that you can wait up to 45 minutes to get those cultures before giving your antibiotics. And if there is this mortality effect, the question we had, well, is that necessarily true? And should everyone be getting their antibiotics in the ambulance or on arrival? And then you can do your blood cultures when they arrive at the emergency department or after you've given your antibiotics, and maybe the results are the same or maybe they're not. And this question had never been asked before, so we decided to ask that question. So compared to blood cultures done before giving antibiotics, what's the sensitivity of cultures attained within 2 hours after starting them in patients with severe manifestations of sepsis? We did this study in 7 different centers, so 4 in British Columbia, 2 in Quebec, Canada, and then 1 in Phoenix, Arizona. To be included in our study, you had to show up to the emergency department, have 2 out of 4 SIRS and a suspected infection. You had to have what we called a severe manifestation of sepsis, which was a systolic blood pressure reading less than 90 or a lactate greater than 4. You had to have your 2 sets of cultures done before you got your antimicrobials, and then additional sets afterwards. And initially, we targeted to get that second set of blood cultures done within 30 minutes to 2 hours. But soon after initiation, we realized we were missing people that may have information to give us, so we did extend it out to 4 hours, but still kept the per protocol, which was 30 minutes to 2 hours. Only exclusion criteria is if you had a platelet count less than 20 or an INR greater than 6, and this is because of the risk of bleeding for another venipuncture that would be required for the second set of cultures. So what I'm showing you here is all the different sites where we did this study. All of them had antibiotic binding resins within the blood culture media. And what's important though is in 3 of our sites, we had 2 sets of cultures done before and 2 sets done afterwards. Now, due to hospital policy, within 2 of the sites, we had 2 aerobic sets done and 1 aerobic anaerobic pre, and then 2 aerobic sets and 1, sorry, 2 aerobic cultures taken and 1 anaerobic afterwards, but same volume of blood before and after. But because of an ethics board and financial reasons, in 2 of our sites, we had 2 cultures taken before and only a single set of cultures taken afterwards, half the blood volume, and this will become relevant later. It is important to note that it was still 20 cc's of blood, which is what the IDSA recommends to catch a bacteremia. So this is our figure 1. So we screened around 3,000 patients. You can see that then there's around 442 that were eligible. People either then declined to be part of the study, died in the emergency department, didn't get the cultures done, or antibiotics for different reasons. And so that left us with 330 patients. Then there was 5 that didn't actually get blood cultures repeated within 4 hours. So left us with 325 patients that got the blood cultures, the repeat blood cultures done within 30 minutes to 2 hours. And then either people got their cultures done too quickly or they were done too late. And that left us with only 364 in our per protocol group, which was the repeat cultures 30 minutes to 2 hours. We had strict criteria what a blood contaminant was, and we had 2 microbiologists review all of our data and exclude contaminants from the analysis, which there was 10 in the pre-antibiotics and 6 in the post-antibiotic cultures. This is just a slide to show you that we created a database looking at all the comorbidities, background, and physiology characteristics of the patients. This is the pre-antibiotic blood culture patient set, so everyone included in the data set. We found a 31.4% positive blood culture rate, and we predicted 35%, so a little bit less than what we expected. Of all these different characteristics, what's interesting, the only thing that was really predictive of a positive blood culture in our study was respiratory failure, either being non-invasive or mechanical ventilation. If you look at the source of sepsis for our study, it's very classic of most sepsis study, being respiratory, GU, and GI being the primary sources. And then if you look at the antibiotics that were delivered in the emergency department, we feel that these are standard for what's done in most emergency departments. So piperacillin tazobactam is the most commonly given antibiotic, with or without vancomycin or a second antibiotic, third generation cephalosporin with azithromycin or another antibiotic, and finally carbapenems with or without vancomycin. So the first results slide. So what you'll see on the right-hand side of the screen, we divided the time frames up into when that second blood culture was done. Less than 30 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour, 1 to 2 hours, or 2 to 4 hours. And as I told you, we had a 31.4% average blood culture rate pre-antibiotics, but you can see here the rates within those time frames and how they changed after delivery of antibiotics. And on the far side of your screen, you can see what the absolute difference was. So you can see there was a drop of around 10% very soon after delivery of antibiotics, within that 30 to 60 mark, and then the other time frames down below. On the next line, you'll see the per protocol population, so where you had the second culture taken within 30 minutes to 2 hours, or 30 minutes out to 4 hours, and you can see the culture rate beforehand and after, and then the difference between the groups being around 10%. In the two different groups. And this is just absolute with the culture positive or negative, not on a patient level data set. What you see here at the very bottom, the sensitivity analysis, what this is that we excluded those sites that had different blood volumes before and afterwards. So all the blood volumes were the same before and after antibiotics. And you can see there is an absolute 14% difference in blood culture positivity rate after delivery of antibiotics. So to conclude, positive pre-antibiotic blood cultures around 31%, positive post-antibiotic blood cultures 19% overall. So what about sensitivity? So this comes to looking at the individual patient, the pathogen that was found in the first blood culture given broad spectrum antimicrobials, and was it the same pathogen or pathogens and same sensitivities afterwards? So again, in looking at the different time frames, 30 to 60 minutes, 1 to 2 hours, and 2 to 4 hours, you can see the rates, the sensitivity rates, that very quickly the sensitivity drops to 64%, then down to 45 and 42% in the other time frames. Then in the per protocol population, 30 minutes to 2 hours and up to 4 hours, you can see the blood culture sensitivity rates are only around 50%. Now, from the initiation of the study, we said, well, we should also look at other cultures. So, for example, you have an E. coli in the first blood culture, you give antibiotics, the second blood culture is negative, but you find that same bug in the urine, in the sputum, in the CSF, does it really matter? So we try to incorporate all these other cultures. So in doing that, you can still see that the sensitivity drops very quickly, with a sensitivity of 77% even within 30 to 60 minutes, and then dropping into the 50s and 60s. And then finally, you can see in the per protocol and the whole population group in the 67-68% sensitivity range. Take home point from this slide is sensitivity of post-antibiotic blood cultures, 52.9%, sensitivity of post-antibiotic, all the cultures together, 67.7%. Does it matter on the source? Yeah, it did actually. So interestingly enough, the respiratory source was the most likely to clear their cultures, with only 27% being positive in the second set. And the GI tract was the least likely to clear, with 76% being positive in the second blood culture. And most of these were biliary sepsis with uncontrolled source. What about the bug? Does it matter? So looking at all the gram-positive, gram-negative, the two different sources, there was no statistical difference between the two, between gram-positive and gram-negatives. But certain bugs did act differently. Not surprisingly, staph was the stickiest and remained positive 87% of the time. And strep pneumal was the most likely to clear. So only 23% of the time was it positive in the second blood culture. What about sensitivity to the antibiotics? And this is a slide that I personally find interesting. So if we looked at the microbe, if it was resistant to the antibiotic we gave it, we still found a reduction in the positivity of the second blood culture. So there's multiple reasons why this may be. Is that there a true sort of fluctuating level of bacteria spilling into the bloodstream? Or what we think is that, more importantly, just because an organism is not sensitive to an antibiotic, the antibiotic still has effect. It just does not have what's considered sensitive by MIC standards. We looked at time to positivity and found that if you got your blood cultures done after delivery of your antibiotics, you had a median difference of around 4 hours to when that blood culture became positive. So, conclude, we found that there's a statistically and clinically significant reduction in blood culture sensitivity after initiation of antimicrobial therapy, sensitivity 52%. This is not compensated by other cultures, and that resulted in a sensitivity of only around 67%. And we do feel that this is actually generalizable to other septic patients outside of the severe manifestations of sepsis that we defined. So we feel that this supports current guideline recommendations and that you should do your blood cultures before delivering IV antibiotics. But you might say to me, so what? We knew this potentially. I don't think I have to tell this audience how important it is to identify a pathogen, its sensitivities, and antimicrobial stewardship. I think there's more and more evidence of the value in doing this. I think if I was talking to the nurses in the audience, I'd say that when you're seeing a patient, you're going to give your antibiotics. If they're not in shock, not severely unwell, maybe waiting for the lab assistant to come take your blood culture would be of benefit. If you're the physician or the intensive that's admitted a patient to your ward and you see their culture negative, maybe going back and actually looking at when their blood cultures were taken compared to the delivery of the antibiotics, maybe that will help guide you a little bit if that's a true negative blood culture. When it comes to quality improvement, people have commented on our study and said, well, you know what, you should just basically take your blood cultures with the insertion of a peripheral IV, and that way you'll never mess up. You always have your blood culture before you give your IV antibiotics. There's some pretty well-done studies that show taking blood cultures through peripheral IVs versus independent venipuncture increase your contamination rates from double to four times. A recent study last year showed a single positive blood contaminant can cost the system $3,000 to $20,000 and increase length of stay from 5 days to 20 days, depending on the study. So a reason I think this is important is I challenge you to go to your centers and to look at what your rate of achievement of getting blood cultures before antibiotics is. I challenge you to see how you're taking those blood cultures. And I challenge you to look at your contamination rates, because you might not be doing as well as you think you are. And in my final seconds, I'll say that we've done this at our center and very proud. We've been doing quality improvement in sepsis since 2006. And our median time to first lactate measurement is 30 minutes. Our median time to antibiotics, and this is looking over 900 patients, is 1 hour. Our median time to second liter initiation of crystalloid is 1 hour. And over the last 2.5 years, I tracked our blood culture before sensitivity, and it started at 70, and now it's, sorry, blood culture before antibiotics, and it started at 70, and now it's at 40%. And this is in the last couple of months. So I know that we need to go back and look at how we're doing business, and I think there's a lot of room for improvement. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. That was fascinating work. Thanks for coming all this way to tell us about it. Can I steal a question first?
Please.
So I was quite struck by the difference between different bacteria in before versus after rate of positivity. Is there prognostic information in there as well? Are people who have more rapid clearance of bugs from their circulation with antibiotics, are they identified by the differential between before and after antibiotics?
Sorry, so it's just saying that if you look at the people that did or did not have a positive blood culture before and after, was there a difference in outcome?
Yeah.
Like, did it clear or not?
Yeah, the people whose bugs disappear from their circulation, do they do better?
Excellent question. So we're in the process of looking at that right now. So I have a student right now going through all the data, and we have 30, 60, and 90 mortality for all of our patients. So we're going to try to look at those and look at, see if the people that cleared, did they do better or not from a mortality standpoint?
Okay. Look forward to that. We have a few questions from Slido from IFA.
Can you tell us anything else about your protocol for excluding blood culture contamination, which we know can be tricky?
The protocol? So basically the bugs that you saw there on the screen that were defined as a potential contaminant, and the two microbiologists said that if there is only one blood culture positive of all the sets that contain one of those organisms, they graded as a contaminant or not. They all screened all of it, excluded the ones they thought that were contaminants, and there was no disagreements.
Okay, thank you.
So we're bang on time, so thank you very much indeed for that talk.